Welcome back. You're listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Hey, we were talking about some of the things that people drop by and they want to have you help them cook because maybe they've got some game or some fish or something. And you know, when you play around with stuff as much as we do, you learn a few things here and there. And one of the things that happens from time to time is somebody will bring by a big piece of salmon. They went out on the big lake or they've been in the river and they got a coho or they've got a king or something like that, and it's a lot of meat, right? And they're like, well, what do I do with this thing? I can steak it up or I can put a fillet on there, but, you know, what do I do with it? So we thought we might touch a little bit on what it would be to, like, smoke a fish and our ideas on the right and the wrong things to do with that. Kick it off, Barbecue Bob. What are you thinking?
Yeah, and there's so many different things you can do, right, or styles that people like or don't like or, you know. So one of the things that we always do is we plank them, right? And I'm of the opinion, if I plank salmon, that I like to take the skin off it so that I can cut that mud vein out and then brine it, and then set that raw meat on the soaked cedar. It absorbs the flavor more, and it also gets rid of that slime that wants to come out of it because that just is kind of disgusting to me, that white milky slime.
Yep.
But I really like the flavor that comes up into the salmon from the cedar.
Right.
It's not like a neutralizer. It's like kind of like what lemon does, you know? But if you're just going to smoke it, if you're going to grill it, you have to be on a plank if you're taking the skin off. If you're leaving the skin on, you can literally throw that thing right on the skin down.
Put a little oil on it, though, so it doesn't stick.
Yep, and then throw your herbs and lemon slices, whatever you're going to put on top of it, and just grill away, smoke away, whatever you're going to do with it. I would say if you're going to do a bunch of it, and very often if you catch one, it's a pretty good-sized fish, you'll have a bunch of it. So I would cut it up into steaks that are maybe an inch thick, and it's a little
down easy. The fish from head to tail, yes. An inch wide that way.
Yes.
The thickness of the fillet is what you're going to be working with, but yep. Left to right, you're going to go about an inch.
Right, because then you can smoke it, you can brine it, smoke it, and then when you process it, it's much easier to take the bones out, and you're not wasting any meat.
Right.
Because then those bones just pull right off. I mean, you can literally grab it by the backbone, and you can pull that whole little section out. If you do it right, and they just all stay together and pop off.
So let's talk a little bit about a brine. I think that's an important part of this process.
Got to do it.
What do you use, or what would you recommend for a brine?
Well, we have them on our website, of course. So you can go to thegrillingguys.com and look up fish brine, salmon brine, trout brine. But it's a combination of sugar and salt. It's usually twice as much sugar as salt. And
water.
And you got to use warm water, and then you have to chill it. Because when you put that fish in there, you want that water to be cold, and you want to brine it cold. So what I would do is whatever amount of water it's calling for, I'd cut that in half, and then I'd put that in the cooler, whatever you're going to brine it in, and then I'd put equal parts of ice in there, and then just let the ice cool it down so you can throw your fish right into it.
Right.
And then you get your right water content. The reason you boil it is to dissolve the salt and sugar.
Right.
And I'm also kind of fond of putting a little white wine in there, especially if it's salmon, because, again, it's a little bit punky, and they vary. But if it's caught out of Lake Michigan, it generally is a really good flavor. Some of the stuff you get in the store is
farm-raised.
It varies if it's where it comes from. Like some of it's just, you know, production stuff that maybe wasn't processed properly, and it's going to be kind of strong. So your brine's going to be really important, but white wine will help you tame that.
Right. And that brine, how long do you leave that in there?
I'm firm. If you've got wine or any kind of acid in there, 6 hours is the max.
Right. You don't want it to cook, if you will, with too much acidity.
But if it's sugar and salt, you can leave it in overnight.
Right. Right. My tip on the brining is that you can do this in a cooler, but line your cooler with a garbage bag, a clean one. But put your brine in your garbage bag, because if you put several fillets in there, that cooler is always going to be the salmon cooler. For whatever reason, they pick up that oil, they pick up that smell, and it's just you're gonna name a cooler forever if you put that salmon
in
there.
I know of a Yeti that's gonna be now permanently a brisket Yeti.
Yeah, right. So, but my point is that if you line it with a trash bag, then it'll work just fine. But you want to put that in there cold at 40 degree or below, brine that stuff off, depending on what you've got in there, 5-6 hours. And then, so you pull it out and you set it on the counter and you let it drip dry on a rack,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, you put it on baker's racks or cookie racks, whatever, and you let them sit for at least an hour.
Right.
So they form a pellicle.
Right, and the pellicle is not a bad thing, which is what I wanted to talk
about
next.
It's like a skin.
Yeah, it's like a little clear, almost looks like plasticky little film that develops on there. But what it'll do, it'll really help when you smoke this thing. It'll seal in some of the brine flavors that you put in there and allow this thing to cook really well. So it's a normal part of it. Don't wipe it off. Don't pick it off. It will, once the fish comes to temperature, it will disappear and you'll be fine.
And here's the other thing. Use a really good charcoal. And if you're using the right charcoal, in my opinion, you don't even need to add flavor wood. If you do, it's very little flavor wood because smoke wants to pick up fish wants to pick up the smoke flavor very easily.
Right.
And I've had a lot of smoked fish that just gave me indigestion. It was so
over-smoked.
Smoky.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah,
and
very
when you
much
see
so.
Them real dark in color, all this commercial stuff, smoked chubs and all this stuff.
Yeah.
They're just brown and black and they're going to be punk.
If you fruit woods, light fruit woods, the
pecan,
apples,
pecan
really
and nice.
Nut wood is good as well. But you don't want a big hickory or oak or mesquite. None of that on that fish. You want to stay on the lighter end of the woods, and you'll be a happy
and
camper.
Now it's important also that your temperature is low.
Right.
So I'm gonna try and smoke it at like 125 to 150.
Right, and how do you know when it's done?
Touch it.
Right, exactly. I mean, a thermometer in it doesn't matter.
No.
You're going to be able to just touch it, and if it starts to flake away in the thickest part, I mean, you just touch it, you'll see it move, and if it's still a little rubbery and it holds together, it's not done yet. But if you just touch it with the end of your tongs and it starts to flake away a little bit, you're good. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can eat fish raw. Right? I mean, it's not going to hurt you.
Right.
But none of us really like to do it. So
I do.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Braveheart.
But no, anyway. I just lived in Hawaii so long.
But okay. Everybody but Bob generally likes their fish cooked. And so you'll know when it's done. But let it rest a little bit too when you pull it off of there, because it'll firm back up a little bit and it'll be easier to serve.
Wait a minute. You don't like sashimi?
Tuna. But not salmon. We're talking about smoking salmon.
You don't do salmon sashimi?
No, I don't, no.
I bet you have, and you didn't know it.
well, I mean, you know, well, you get the bagels and lox with the salmon.
There's one.
That's usually
There's
smoked,
one.
Isn't it?
I don't know.
Yeah, I think
But
it
anyway,
is. Yeah,
exactly. Regardless.
Right, right.
I wasn't going to let that one go unfettered.
I thought so. Okay, so, you know, when you get this, again, Bob mentioned early on that there's a lot of this. You're getting, if you're doing a whole fish, there's a lot of things you can do with it. And one of the great things that I love to do with, after you've served it with the capers and the crackers and things like that, is make a salmon dip.
Chill it.
Right. And our friend Brad Ensing over at Garrett's Appliance makes the best salmon spread I've ever eaten in my life.
Yeah.
And
he's got the wrist.
Yeah, he's got her dialed in. You're exactly right. And I don't know the ingredients that he puts in it.
It's cream cheese and green onion.
Yeah,
and
but
salt
there's a whole
pepper.
Lot of.
No, I'm telling you, I've asked him several times because I want to, and I've still not tried it because I don't think I can do it as well as he does.
Yeah,
but it's really simple. It's green onions and cream cheese.
Dude, I know there's so more good. In it than that because...
Oh, you think he's lying.
I do.
That's why
I
you
do.
Call him Fred.
Right, yeah, I'm not going to call him a liar, but I'm going to call him a cook with discerning memory, all right? We'll leave it at that because it's really good. Huge comp to Brad because he makes the best salmon spread I've ever had in my life, and I can't repeat it because he didn't tell me every ingredient that was in it, but... Anyway, coming up next, a little bit of Man Law. You're going to like it. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Yeah, you can find us where the party's at. This is how we rule.